TSN joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm okay, boys. How are you guys?
I'm good. What do you think of baseball's one-game playoff?
I don't mind it, actually. I mean, that's a long season, though, to have come down to one game. That's a thing. Like, baseball, holy smokes. The number of games they played during the regular season, all of a sudden, bang, just one. Like, it feels like it would be more appropriate to have a series, but I know they don't have time, so whatever. Hey, it makes for a great entertainment value.
It definitely it's made it so you have, you know, a few other cities now who are right into it. Although, I guess if they didn't have the wild card, Toronto and Baltimore would still just have to be playing a play-in game, right? They just likely would have played it yesterday. So,
and when were their last games? Like, how does it work with the pitching rotations?
Well, both of them played on Sunday. And so in the case of the Jays, their two best starters went Saturday, Sunday. So
yeah.
And you could argue even Estrada's. So Stroman's probably right now, based on the regular season, their fourth best starter. Right? But with Estrada and Happ and Sanchez, those guys will be available if they make it to the next round against Texas.
Yeah. So. Well, it's interesting. And look, I'm by no means a baseball guy in any way, but it seems to me that you have this, you know, part of the strength of a baseball team is its pitching rotation. And the overall strength of a team and whether they could survive in a playoff series, it's about a rotation, not just one guy. So some of it comes down to timing and making sure you got the right guy ready to go in a one-game winner-take-all. So are you looking ahead to that? Are you anticipating that? Are you making different decisions? Like, baseball, it's about the strength of your rotation over four or five games. And if it's just one, then maybe it comes down to who had better timing with their best guys.
Shogger, the Edmonton Oilers, tonight we get into the final week of the preseason, thankfully, and there will be some decisions made by the coaching staff. Some are going to be interesting. Leon Draisaitl, is he going to right wing? Is he going to play center? He's going to play center tonight. He did take some line rushes with Nugent Hopkins on the wing. And considering how many games Draisaitl's already played from the Olympic qualifiers through to the World Cup, I don't see him playing all three games this week. I could be wrong, but I would be kind of surprised by that. So, you know, at most, it looks like he'll probably get one game if he does with Nugent Hopkins.
I would think, yeah, he would play. He'll play tonight, and then I think he'll play Saturday. I don't think they'll have him play three in a row. So I don't know that for sure. I'm just assuming. Maybe he gets a look on Saturday night on the wing with Nugent Hopkins. If I assume Kajula will play on Thursday. And if he does and looks good in that center spot, Todd McClellan flat out said today, just talked directly about the fact that with Drake Kajula playing as well as he is, that gives him the option of Leon potentially on the wing. And so if Kajula, who's going to get a rest finally tonight, if he plays well on Thursday and he starts there Saturday, well, now that's getting right down to it. You know what the guy's thinking. But I think there's a good chance that they will start the year with Kajula at that third line center spot and giving Draisaitl a look on the wing.
So that would, I'm obviously assuming based on that you would expect Puljujärvi to spend the beginning of the season or start the beginning of the season in the AHL.
No, I'm not 100% convinced that that's the way it'll go yet. I know it kind of makes sense because you wouldn't necessarily want Puljujärvi and Kajula playing on a line together. And then you've got Versteeg who, if he's healthy, probably slides in there. And I think a little bit still depends on what Puljujärvi does and how he plays. But I think it's probably heading that way. Or maybe he starts in the press box just for the first game and they get him in second game, third game, whatever. Wouldn't surprise me if he started the regular season with the team. But as far as opening night and what lineup makes the most sense, I'm not sure that if Draisaitl moves to that right side, then it definitely edges him out.
Do you think Anton Lander is destined for the waiver wire here? I mean, even with the pairings he has thus far in camp, I mean, it's not looking good for him right now.
Never mind the waiver wire. He's destined for the American League. He's not getting. I'd be stunned if he got picked up. Stunned. Like, unless somebody has an old scouting report from a year and a half ago. So if you don't want to be too hard on a guy, but man, his game is, and he was better the other night, but his game is just, he just hasn't shown the confidence that he showed under Todd Nelson and hasn't been able to get it back. And quite frankly, he's just not fast enough to be effective out there as a smaller player. So yeah, no, he's been outplayed badly by Kajula. Mark Letestu will be ahead of him as well. They signed Cassian. You've got Slepyshev banging down the door. Anton Lander to me. And because you now have Kujula, another guy that can play center, probably making the team. I mean, remember, there was a time where Anton Lander made the team by default because he was a center when he probably hadn't earned it. That ain't happening again.
No, I would agree wholeheartedly. I don't see it. Now, Slepyshev or Pitlick, do you think either one of them slides into that 23-man roster, or are they both going down?
That's tough. Pakarinen getting hurt change things a little bit because they liked Euro. They liked his game. They liked the way he played. It definitely opens the door a little bit for one of those two guys. So I could see one of those two battling it out and being able to stick around. Pitlick has looked decent. He needs to have a really good showing. He needs to show that he understands how much on the bubble he is. I would probably give Pitlick the inside track to stick around because I see him as a little bit of a better fourth line type player that understands what that role is. It's also to the point in Pitlick's career and development where if he's a 13th forward that's in and out of the lineup, I think they're probably okay with that. So, yeah, I could see one of the two of them now with Pakarinen getting hurt, getting a chance to start.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Ryan, good news on the injury front. Davidson day-to-day for the Oilers, but I think definitely a reminder of how shallow their right defense depth is because Reinhart can't play left. Nurse isn't going to play left. You know, I don't think they want Osterley, a rookie, playing
right.
Yeah, sorry, playing right. Yeah, Freudian slip there. Playing right. So, you know, I think Eric Greiva's got three games this week. Do you think he signs a contract before Monday?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll probably just sign him. If the news continues to be good on Brandon Davidson and he continues to respond well and it's not going to be too long, that's great for the Oilers. Todd said a few things today that I thought were interesting about Greiva. I'm not going to try and directly quote him, but he basically pointed to the fact that they're all cheering for him in there. They know him. They like him. They want him to make the team. He stands up for his teammates. He made a point of mentioning that. He's earned some real legitimate stripes in that dressing room with that group because of the way he handled himself last season. So I think that coming to Edmonton on a PTO was his best option for a reason, and that reason is coming to fruition because he had built-in credit with that coach, that management group already, and he's probably going to end up cashing in on that. The fact that he's a right shot, making all the difference in the world too. So I do think they probably get him done, and he's not going to be in every night if everybody's healthy, but he gives them an option if Fane is struggling. He gives them a good option if anybody's injured. It allows Osterley to keep playing. It allows Matt Benning to keep playing, who I think they're pretty high on, by the way. I think they've liked him. Probably wouldn't surprise me if he were one of the first couple of defense call-ups, depending on how a season goes down there. But, yeah, I would say Greiva's got a spot. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to change my stance. I've said it from the end of last season. To me, a one-year deal for that guy would have made a lot of sense, reliable. And you know what? Even if he ends up playing some games in the press box because you have six defensemen better, fine. But I'd much rather have a veteran that when you injury bug hits, and we know it hits hard in Edmonton, sadly, that you're not just going to go and fall off a cliff and now having to play rookies and young guys and praying and hoping that some of them are NHL ready. Because we've seen that too often. How many young defensemen have had to be like Brad Hunt and down the list of guys that are playing in the NHL that you know are simply not NHL players?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I wonder, too, with Greiva, like, I don't know what you guys think, but here he comes into camp on a PTO, probably ends up earning himself a contract. If they stay healthy and they're not really, and Fane's playing reasonably well, and they're not really seeing a chance to get him in, but does Eric Greiva clear waivers? Like, there was no contract to be had.
Well, now he's on a PTO. You don't have to put him on waivers.
I don't know. But if he signs a deal.
If he signs a deal, would he clear waivers?
Let's say you want to platoon him a little, or let's say you get an injury on the left side. Let's say you or let's say you want to move him down or whatever. I just popped into my head. I wonder if he's a guy that he'd be one of those guys on the waiver wire a team would probably take. Yet there was no contract for him heading into the regular season. So anyway, I think he's an experienced veteran that's got lots of credit with those players in there. I think it makes sense to have him come in. But I do think, I think Benning's turned their head a little bit. I do think that, and it'll be interesting to see where he plays in on that depth chart when it comes to Osterley, when it comes to Reinhardt.
Yeah, it's interesting. For me, the question of Greiba is a matter of timing, to be honest, if you sign him, if he clears waiver or not, because the second the season gets going and injuries start happening around the league, if you waited right now, yes, no contract offers, teams all think don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup, but they're all happy with their team at this point. They don't think they need to make any changes, generally speaking. And if you sign him, the longer you wait, the more likely it is that he's going to get picked up and that someone sees a need for a guy that's a fairly steady guy that can play 5-6 minutes on the right side.
Anybody can throw a deal at him right now, correct? On a PTO?
Correct. So I don't see teams doing that, but if you do sign him and he starts playing, I see it being probably fairly difficult to get him through waivers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the right shot thing is just so critical for this team to have somebody that can play the right side naturally. That's huge and has to be a big reason why he ended up coming to Edmonton, understanding that situation they were in.
Reiner Schog from TSN joins us. The teams are getting now down to a lot shorter rosters, 30 pretty much around the NHL, Ryan. And you talked about Greiba getting through waivers. I wonder if the Oilers will try to look at a right defenseman to claim themselves through waivers who's not expensive.
Excuse me. And part of that is maybe why they're waiting on Greiba. Like, it's a tricky balance here, right? Because teams are going to have to start to cull the herd a little bit, and they're going to have to start to make decisions and difficult decisions based on roster spots. And sometimes there is a gem to be plucked from that scenario. But if they sign Greiba, they maybe lose out on an opportunity to pick up a guy that they might have really wanted to have. So it's a little bit of a delicate balancing act because you hand Greiba a deal and then all of a sudden somebody falls that, they weren't expecting or maybe they were hoping but didn't know for sure. So it's a little bit of a balancing act, but, a bird in the hand is better than a couple in the bush. So if Greiba is there and they like the way he's playing, then you probably just want to get that done rather than waiting for some sort of waiver wire magic.
Well, I don't know how many deals get done now. Now, I know Pittsburgh and Detroit are teams that are over the salary cap, and they're going to have to do some unique capology to get their teams under the cap. So, maybe you could pick a team off. But I don't see a Johnny Boychuk or a Nick Leddy type trade out there right now.
Oh, no. And I just more meant the waiver wire. Like, teams that have a glut of defensemen, that have a bunch of guys and have tough decisions to make, sometimes a good defenseman will pop loose. Sometimes it happens before the regular season. Other teams that are maybe deeper on the back end or deeper on the right side, whatever. And so the decision on when to sign Greiba, I think, has to do with waiting for that opportunity to see if somebody does hit the waiver wire that would be an upgrade for the Oilers. So I think they just have to be careful timing-wise.
Darnell Nurse, at all concerned with his puck handling abilities from the game on Sunday night?
No, I don't think so. I think it's still early. Darnell is a decent puck handler. It's going to take more for me to start throwing red flags about Darnell Nurse. I think he worked hard in the offseason. I know he worked on his puck handling. I think that he's a player that takes a little bit of time to get up to speed. He's used to playing a ton of hockey. Like Darnell coming through junior, remember how much hockey he played and all the different series that he played in and some Hockey Canada stuff and all that? He's used to playing a lot of hockey, and this is maybe a year where there hasn't been a whole ton of hockey for him to be playing. So let's give him a little bit of time and see. It's early, and in the first two or three preseason games, I think you got to give guys a little bit of a pass. But if he's still smashing it around and hacking it up square in the game one of the regular season, then yeah.
Jogger, have yourself a good evening. We will see you at the rink.
Okay. Sounds good, man. See ya.